Okay, so we're down here in Kinsale, and we're here with David Nevin and Alan Clayton. So we're here to learn about, this is the home of where the transition towns have started. So first of all, could you tell us a little bit about what's going on presently in Kinsale, or what projects you're involved with?
Certainly. Well, David Nevin's my name. I'm a student from the permaculture course. I've just graduated after 2 years, and my main involvement has been with the food group of transition towns. Some of the main initiatives from that was the community garden, which I can talk about in detail later. We planted some fruit trees. We're big into planting edible landscapes around the suburbs and around the town of Kinsale. We have a school program going on in which students from the Permaculture College go into the schools to teach the kids about growing food in the classroom and about issues of sustainability. And they also set up food gardens with the kids and also get them involved with different initiatives in the town itself. So that's been my main involvement so far with Transition Towns.
Hi, Alan Clayton. I've been involved in Transition Town probably for a year and a half or so now. And for me, it was an interesting development for something that the town did about 3 or 4 years ago, which was to become a fair trade town. My own involvement particularly has been around local transport. We live in a tourist town which is jam-packed with ridiculous amounts of cars. Everybody knows that's the case, but nobody seems to have figured out a way to do anything about it. So we have a land train project which actually comes to fruition as we speak, which is good news. There's also projects around general power down issues. So there's a sort of attempt to engage with businesses, residents, schools and students in terms of just finding ways to reduce the amount of fuel they're using, as well as pay attention to the kind of fuel that people are using. And Transition Town also covers other issues such as just general education, trying to involve people in issues around health, eating good food as well as growing food locally and so on. So it's a great thing that's been going on.
Okay, and could you just tell us a little bit of the mechanisms of how it came about and where it originally grew from?
I think there's no doubt that the original inspiration for the project came from the college. In the town, although we're only a small town, we have a global reputation at the College of Further Education here for things like organic horticulture and particularly permaculture design. So back in, I think it was 2005, a group of the students at the college produced a very impressive document, which is essentially called Kinsale 2021, an Energy Descent Action Plan. And that document, which was partly inspired by Rob Hopkins, who was a lecturer here at the time, and by the students, that's very much been the basis of the whole thing. That document kind of laid around in the college for probably a couple of years, and I'm not quite sure how it happened, but eventually a few of us got together, as people do, and just had a think about whether there was actually something that could be done with it of a more tangible nature. To try and really bridge the gap between the thinking and the good work that goes on at the college and the rest of the community. So it's a bit like the mayor and the councillors, who obviously do their own thing in the town, and the rest of the community. And I think the whole exercise has been a big challenge in terms of trying to link the expertise and the talent in certain parts of the community with the resources and the ability to make it all happen, which actually lies in the other bigger parts of the community.
Yeah, to continue, I suppose the students have been a major drive behind the Transition Towns movement. They've got involved with a lot of the projects. You can imagine the permaculture course is quite well known. You get 40 new students coming into the town. They're all absolutely dying to get involved with different things relating to sustainable living and permaculture. And the fact that we have a Transition Towns in Kinsale is obviously a great benefit for the students and for Transition Towns as well.
It's interesting to hear about the community gardens, because I always wonder about the mechanisms that are in place that can be put in place so that the community feel that they can participate, as opposed to just remaining a clique, the guys over there doing their thing. So like, you've got the community gardens. I'd like to hear a little bit more about other sort of mechanisms that you try to use that have been successful in terms of linking with the community.
Well, in terms of community gardens, the advice I give to anybody, I mean, certainly at the start and certainly for the first year, you need a professional, you need somebody who knows how to garden, knows how to set it up properly. From there, it's a question of, yes, getting the community involved, setting up different events, workshops. As you're setting up the community garden initially, very important to speak with the community, just get to know them, be friendly with them, get them involved. And the fact is that a lot of community mightn't be interested at all in a community garden or growing food, and that's fair enough. But if you have a constant presence there, you show people that you're having fun. We'd be there. We'd be playing a bit of music, that type of thing. And slowly but surely, you can get the community involved. Certainly, we wouldn't be forcing anybody to, and we don't get heavy on people and try, you know, knocking on doors and telling them all the deep issues and food crises that are going on in the world. It's not about that at all. It's a community thing. It's a local action. Certainly, there's the global issues there that are important, of course. But it's a community initiative, and that's where we work from. Mm.
And in terms then, you were saying about the fair trade town, how's that grown, or where has that led to at the moment, or what's the wider sort of network that's happening of fair trade towns?
Fair trade towns really came out of, it's just people's growing general awareness of things to do with the food they eat, where it comes from, who gets paid properly for it, and so on. And I think, to be fair to things like fair trade, they've been around for about 20 or 25 years. They've probably come late to Ireland, and we just live in a particular town where there's a pretty good mixed community. So it's been easier to probably engage with everybody. So in the case of fair trade, it's actually a subject that is studied by national school students at a very young age. It's part of the curriculum. It's part of the curriculum in secondary schools. And it just makes sense from a business point of view, and that's something that you have to come back time and time again, because a lot of the people who wield the resources in any community to make things happen are often involved in businesses, and if the whole idea, whether it's transition town or fair trade town, if it doesn't ultimately make some kind of sense to those kind of people, then it's going to be an uphill struggle. So we can all grow a few extra cabbages in our back gardens, but probably that's not going to change the world. But the Land Train project here is a particularly good example of where an economic need of an individual who happens to have the resources has actually dovetailed very nicely with the transition town agenda, and that's just one particularly good example. And fair trade just captured the imagination, because it works for everybody. So if you're just a student, the idea of buying chocolate that's been paid for properly is just something that you'd probably like to do because you're a good person. But it actually works from the shop's point of view, because it's additional business for the shops, and that's how they make money. And if you're running a hotel or a cafe, it's good PR to claim that you're part of the fair trade movement. And the hope is that Transition Town will become exactly the same kind of thing.
So I'd just like to ask then about just reading into the transition town, this kind of the actual tools that it uses, like a kind of imagining how things might be in a few years, and then a few more years, and a few more years, to actually become less petroleum dependent. I'm wondering then about how it's grown in from its original start here in Kinsale. Like, is it gaining more and more momentum? Because like recently, we were in England at the climate camp and met a lot of different sorts of people there who've been involved or who are still involved in transition towns in Britain, where it really seems to be taken off phenomenally. And looking back here in Ireland, I don't know if there's other transition town projects in other parts of Ireland, or I'm just wondering, is the same momentum here in Ireland?
Yeah, I think. Yes, good question. There's undoubtedly a lot of projects going on all around Ireland. I mean, in Ireland, in Dublin, we have the Cultivate Centre, obviously, and that's a bit of a hotbed for all things really related to the broader issues of, I guess, green living or eco-living or whatever name you want to put on it. And that sort of covers things like Transition Town. I mean, there are people building small townships on ecological grounds. There are people running businesses, promoting organic horticulture, obviously. And we're about to set up a bunch of allotments in the town designed on permaculture, along permaculture lines. Possibly one of the challenges in Ireland is that there's only 4 million people, and there are relatively few of them per acre compared with somewhere like the UK. So in the UK you have, I don't know, 50 or 60 quite large universities, which are always going to be inspirational places for these kind of projects. And I think it's probably easier in a more densely populated situation to get the ideas out to them through the media and into the wider population. So I don't know how many transition towns there are in Ireland.
Probably more since we started this interview.
Yeah, probably more since we started the interview. I don't, to be fair, we actually get people coming to our town website and coming to the town from places as far away as Italy and Korea with their television cameras. So we know that something is happening as a result of what we started here. Mm. Whether it's all happening in Ireland, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But as I say, there's probably a lot of different things that go on in Ireland which aren't all called transition town.
Yeah.
That might be part of the reason it seems that there are less towns per population than there are in places like the UK. Yeah. The parallel with fair trade is an obvious one, again, because in the UK, the first fair trade town happened about 15 years ago, and the first one in Ireland was only 3 or 4 years ago. And in Ireland now there are about 30 fair trade towns with 30 more in the pipeline. Okay. And I don't see why that shouldn't happen with transition town. Probably the difference is that in the world of fair trade there is kind of governmental funding and NGO support specifically for those initiatives, whereas in the case of transition town there isn't, not at this stage anyway. Mm.
There's a new nationwide initiative just starting up now with transition towns. It's been, I don't actually think they're calling it transition towns now. It's been set up by Davy Phillips and the Cultivate Centre. They've had 2 meetings so far and they're trying to bring together all the different transition towns. As Alan said, they're not all actually called transition towns. There's Sustain, there's Future Proof Kilkenny. So, but they're all, it doesn't matter the name, you know, they're all trying to achieve the same thing. So it's just getting them all together, learning the lessons and sharing those lessons and helping each other in that process. So, yeah.
And with that, I don't suppose everybody in from whatever worlds they're coming from all have different views about the environmental crisis that we're in already or might be approaching. Or like, it's interesting, last Saturday was the, like, since the people from outside Ireland have come here, they just go, it just rains all the time in Ireland. But like last Saturday was the highest rainfall ever recorded for a month of August, and it lashed rain, and we're seeing the, you know, flash floods happening in Ireland. So people would argue that we are already in the climate crisis already hit Ireland. So the question I'm asking then is about the sense of urgency and the sense of hope or despair that people have about that. Well, first of all, is radical change needed? And second of all, are we able to do it? And if we are, is the transition towns the model, or is more things required?
Yeah, that's the big question. I've no doubt myself that we're in this ecological crisis at the moment. We've been in it for quite a while, and the effects of that are filtering through very much now. If you want an example, in terms of climate change affecting in terms of food issues, Australia is going through a 5-year drought at the moment. Australia is the second biggest producer of wheat in the world, and because we're living in this globalized world, if Australia's wheat harvest is affected, it's not just affecting Australia, obviously it's affecting all other countries. It's affecting the poor of Asia. So it's considered a 1 in 1,000 kind of drought they're going through at the moment. So in terms of, I mean the model of transition towns is, I mean, I think what we have to work towards and what permaculture is about and what transition towns about is a localized, about each town being having their services, products and resources, that's all coming from a local level. I think that's the way to go forward, certainly.
Mm. Yeah, I think perhaps because I have a kind of business background and wouldn't be completely up to date on the academic side of some of these debates, it strikes me that nobody is really suggesting that we should stay where we are. I think everybody, whether they believe there's a climate crisis or not, believes that there must be a better way to organise ourselves as communities. I mean, you only have to come to a place like this as a tourist and look at the traffic to understand that it's not really how you'd like it to be. So I think people in every part of the community agree that there should be a better way to do things. The question really is, like, how much do they really want to be part of it, or are they prepared to contribute to it? And I think sadly a lot of these things do eventually come down to some kind of pressure on people's financial resources. So if it's going to make sense financially, and if you start to feel the pinch of high food prices or high fuel prices to the extent that you can't afford the fuel anymore, or that you can't afford to eat properly anymore, then I think you're going to change your behaviour. It's a shame that it sort of comes to that. But I think what part of what we have to do as a sort of mixed group within the community is try and just present the case in a practical and financially sustainable way that says, yep, there are ways to do this, these are some examples, and hopefully people will see that and follow.
Okay. Yeah. I have to, yes, I would like to ask how you get, you know, to the community when you are, you decide one village, one concrete village, and then you come and then you start, or and then how you, yeah, how do you get, you know, to people, your project? Do you do workshops? I don't know how. Yes.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, if a community is going to set up a transition towns, that would be set up by and decided. That decision would be made by people within the community itself. In terms of setting up a transition towns, a fantastic book just came out from Rob Hopkins, one of the writers of the Energy Descent Plan, called The Transition Handbook, and this goes through the whole process of how to set up a transition town. There's basically 12 steps. I'm not going to list them all for you now because I can't remember them all, but there's 12 steps and there's a process to go through. One of the main things he would mention is, okay, if you're setting up a transition town, is having a big opening event. Now, that's not going to happen straight away, but as soon as you've drum up the support, you know that people are interested, you're going to have a really, really big opening event in which you get different speakers along. Quite often, they'll be showing the films, The Power of Community, dealing with how Cuba reacted to no oil, basically. And The End of Suburbia, which is the scarier side of it, which other people like to show. But I mean, after that, it's up to the people who start it up. There's so many ways, you know. You look at the town, you look what it needs, and you look which ways you can get people involved, you know, get them active.
And then you create like a space with where people can come and discuss and I don't know. Yeah. This can build up.
I mean, no two transition towns, I say, are the same, you know, and they might have the same philosophy, but. I mean, here in Kinsale, we're looking for about a year now to get a sustainability centre put up, you know. So to have that central hub where people can meet and discuss these things, yeah, it would be absolutely brilliant for this town. We don't have it yet, but we're working towards it. Money is always an issue. Grants, money, having the money to do it.
I have another question. In Ireland, in the curriculum, in the normal schools, are they learning more and more concepts about sustainability or permaculture, this kind of stuff is coming to the young people, or is just now in a very alternative side?
Yeah, it probably is in an informal way, at least I'd hope it is, but it's not set in the curriculum. It's not at all. If we had our way, we'd certainly I mean, we're all about skilling up, you know. If oil runs out tomorrow, what we're going to look at is the people you have around you, the resources they have, the skills you have, because that's what you're going to have to fall back on, you know. So the permaculture course is all about skilling people up, building self-resilience within the community. So that's what it's about.
I think, to be fair, I think the educational system will probably take decades to catch up with the real world, as is the usual case. I mean, it always surprises me how nobody teaches kids in school about money and how money works. And if they haven't done that yet, I don't think they're going to be teaching people about permaculture in any significant way for another few decades. The hope, however, is that in a town or even in a big city, it just takes a few individuals to sit down with some of the key stakeholders in their local world of education to introduce sessions in schools where the whole academic background to permaculture can be presented. So in Kinsale, that's what we've done. We have a great bunch of teachers who run the local schools, the local secondary school, and they're more than happy to take experts in and interesting people in, especially sort of transition year is a great place to do this kind of thing with teenagers. And so there are ways to get the information and the ideas into the sort of educational system and into young people at an early age. And again, the same as you can see is true from Fair Trade, because that is almost an institutionalised part of the curriculum now. So there's hope.
But it's just one of the things that strikes me is that how these movements are not just about answering or creating solutions to problems. It's that, but so much more, because the creation of these sort of groups and projects create some things that have been lost in recent years, especially in communities. And a lot of it is the sense of community, or the joy of being part of a community, of participating, of knowing your friends, of being able to shape whatever things you want to shape in your community. And that if it comes from transition towns, like what we heard in England recently, you know, someone eventually just set it up. Said, I want to try to set this up. I'll call a meeting and see if people come. And then suddenly a lot of people going, oh, we were hoping somebody would organise this, something like this. And then it's, and so a lot of it is actually people, I think, just not having maybe the confidence or the energy or to actually take the step to try to get things going. But once it starts going, suddenly there's a lot of momentum from a lot of different sides. Mm-hmm. Like as George Mombi was saying last week, it's, you know, with these sort of groups, it's they're in, like, you'll have old men in tweed suits, like the more posh area of the community. You'll have a lot of normal people from the community, and then at the back you might have a lot of punks with funny haircuts and tattoos, and they'll all be in the same group participating in the same project. And that this might be the only such project or type of movement that is bringing people, all these different people who in other worlds would never meet and would disagree and would. So it's one of the powers of it. And the other thing I'd like to throw in is that I think projects really work when participation is brought into it, and it's seen as being really one of the things that brings about the momentum that leads to change. So that if somebody like Michael Albert talks about the making the movement sticky, like if people, for example, anti-war, somebody just comes in and they're given a load of posters and said, right, put those posters up there. If that's all they do for whatever amount of time that they're in part of it, you know, after a while they'll just get bored and leave it. Whereas if they feel that they can join and become part of it, and they're able to offer their opinions, and maybe someone says, oh, maybe we could try to make an art space over there. It's like, okay, well, do you want to take it on? And then they try and they've got that, wow. And so I think these little keys are, I suppose I'm just trying to make the point about participation. I think that it really works when participation is in there. So I don't know, maybe to bring it back to here to Kinsale, if that might be one of the things that has worked.
Well, absolutely, but it's certainly a challenge to say for any group. I've been involved with different groups here in Kinsale, and keeping that momentum, keeping the enthusiasm going is one of the greatest challenges. I think it helps to have somebody kind of leading the process and who has that kind of drive and keeps people focused. Part of one of the modules we did in the course is about basically working within groups and that whole group process and the different dynamics that goes on within it. It's very easy to enter this, what's called the groan zone, and it's that stage after everybody has thrown out all the great ideas they have to initiate, let's say in terms of a transition town. You'll then enter that stage where it seems like this is the worst group ever, and you can't seem to put any idea into action, and you're basically in the groan zone there, right? And it's just recognizing that's completely natural and there's a way forward, yeah, and there's a process to make that happen as well.
Yeah, I think it's always interesting whenever you get any kind of group of people together to try and do anything, and the same would be true in a staff room, in a school, in a boardroom, in a business, just in the back of a kind of hairdresser's shop or anything, and it's no different with Transition Town or Fair Trade Town. What tends to happen, obviously, in the early stages of any sort of project, the people who get together in the first place are always going to be the people with the ideas. And the problem that they have is that they're not the best people for project managing or sticking to processes or doing anything in an organised way. They just head off straight into another planet almost with this spectacular idea that might see the light of day in 20 years. And luckily they do that, because without that, nothing would happen. But then the challenge is to actually engage other people to make some of these things happen. And the problem is that these different types of people, so whether you're the kind of creative individual, or whether you're the organized, quiet, sort of process-oriented individual, or whether you're the kind of people and communications individual, or whether you're the target-driven individual, doesn't really matter. But the chances are all those types of people talk a different language. So eventually, after they've initially said, yeah, it's a great idea, after a few weeks, they're struggling because they just don't talk the same language. And so, as David said, you get to that point where, you know, one of the stages of forming groups is this idea of that they almost fall apart halfway through the project. But if the project has enough of a shared vision, if the individuals and the stakeholders genuinely share a sort of fairly practical vision of where things might go in a medium to short term, then usually that can be overcome. And I think it will be in this case. Interestingly, I mean, your idea, the community thing, I think is really important. And it strikes me that certainly in a town like this, in the past, I would say that the church or the churches have been the other place where people of all parts of society might gather behind arguably some idea of shared vision. But clearly that's virtually all but gone, and it's certainly gone in, except in a token way, in a town like this. And Transition Town, I think, offers a really viable alternative to stuff like that, as does things like fair trade, as do things like people's genuine concern for the state of, you know, two-thirds of the world that lives on a dollar a day. So, you know, that's another reason why I think it just might work.
Yeah. Well, maybe if we finish up on that, because the thing is that, well, Kinsale is facing it's trying to come up with a vision to live more sustainably. You know, the reasons behind, a lot of the reasons behind this is that we are a global community, and as even though Ireland in its safe little corner in Europe is starting to get hit by the climate crisis, you know, like we've seen food rights in I think 54 countries over the last few months. We've seen just startling things, you know, so food is really a huge thing, and this climate situation that we're in has huge consequences for all of the world. So maybe I'd just like to finish up by from the home of the Transition Town movement, which has taken off and hopefully will carry on and be that spark which it already has proven to be, that is radically, or starting to bring in radical change into different communities. But maybe by finishing off, just a message from some of the people on the ground here in Kinsale, a message to the rest of the people in the world about just whatever you feel like saying.
Hello. Yeah, I think a key point is, if you're going to be setting up a Transition Town, is to present that vision and that the vision that you're working towards is a positive one, something that it's you should and would want to actually work towards, and that it's going to be a better, healthier and more enjoyable way of life than this very destructive one we're currently leading.
Okay, my thought would be that for a long time now, when I've worked in businesses, you come up with the idea or the experience that people are sitting on ideas that they kind of wish they would just somehow be able to make happen. And their reason why it doesn't happen is something called fear of failure. There's a lot of work done in psychology that actually suggests it's not fear of failure at all. It's actually fear of success. Most of us would die if some of the things that we really thought should happen and could happen actually did. So please don't mistake fear of success for fear of failure.
Yeah. No, I think it would be very important to be in touch more with the feeling of togetherness and the feeling that we can really do different things to change. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody, and the best luck for the future.
Bye.
Bye.